It is not as if we will not have any divine qualities. But we need to go on increasing the divine qualities and go on reducing the demoniac qualities. Divine and demoniac, if you put it in a simple language, selfish is asuric, demoniac. Selfish, self-centered, egocentric, egoistic is asuric. Divine is unselfish, selfless, functioning without egoistic attitude, and functioning in the interest of totality, not in the interest of oneself. That is divine. Right. So, for Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagraha and Chitta Vishalata. Chitta means thoughts. Chitta Shuddhi means purification of thoughts. Chitta Vishalata means broadening the thoughts. And Chitta Ekagraha, single pointedness. All this we need to develop before we can get into knowledge. And then through knowledge, applying ourselves single pointedly, we get into meditation, and through meditation we liberate and realize the self. So in this few verses that we are seeing now, he is talking about the demoniac person, an asuric person. So he says, abiding in insatiable desire, overpowered by hypocrisy, pride and arrogance, gripped by evil ideas through delusion, they work with impure resolve, beset with immense care, ending only with death. With sensual enjoyments, their highest aim, feeling sure this is all, bound by hundreds of bands of hope, succumbing to lust and rust, they strive to obtain hoards of wealth unjustly for sensual enjoyment. Verses 10, 11, 12, I was just quoting the translation, you don't have to tell. So, if you read these verses, the central thing of an asuric person is selfishness. Me, myself, maximum, put on family. And whole thing revolves around what I can get. And they are not satisfied with what they've got. They want more and more. In fact, there's a quotation by when Rockefeller was asked, how much would be enough for you? You're already having enough. But how much would be enough for you? He said, a little more. A little more would be enough. That's how the mind thinks, no? That's why they compare the mind to fire. How much ever it can consume, it will not be satisfied. If you want more, give me more, give me more. So that's why I say, bound by hundreds of hopes, desires, insatiable, lust, avarice, greed. This is the typical nature of a rajasic, asuric person. And the fact that they are focusing on what they lack, they want more and more. So they'll never be happy. That constantly agitated. So that's why he says, and therefore, they're completely deluded now by the desire. And when they're deluded by desire, now they start thinking poorly. And it looks like okay for them. What's wrong? And they say, see, he's also doing, she's also doing. This is how we have to live today in the world. It has to be done that way. All sorts of things that people do. You hear so many stories after stories how corporates have collapsed. Corporates have simply collapsed because they lost the fundamentals. They get greed, they get greedy, and then they get into stuff and they get into trouble. You create an empire, it's not a joke, you know, there's so much of sweat and toil and focus and hard work and all that. And then, with few desires that you are not able to control, you do things and then you're finished. So, they strive hard, they work hard, but for what? To hoard wealth, and that also unjustly. Because to hoard, that is, more than what the law can give you, it has to be through unjustice method. It's not possible through just. Through just you get according to your actions. So you do, but then one thing you understand is, at what cost? Macbeth murders his benefactor king, Duncan. He and his wife, they scheme and they invite him for dinner or lunch or something. And then they poison the food and they kill him. So that he can get the power. And then Shakespeare says, Macbeth is basically saying it, he says, Macbeth murdered sleep, meaning he did not murder Duncan, he murdered his own
sleep.
But that's how the delusion will, that's what the delusion will do. In this context, last week I was talking about Mother Sita's example. She was overpowered by the desire for the golden deer and she was deluded and she was talking certain words which is which you don't expect that she speaks to Lakshman. You understand? So anybody can fall. That's why we need to have constant intellect. See, you can have intelligence and if you do not have this intellect, then what happens is you will start using your intelligence for wrong things. That's the problem. Your intellect should be there to keep you in line with dharma. Otherwise you take one or two steps and then you get involved and then you say, hello, this is how it should be done. And then you will be finished. So that's why you're saying bound by hundreds of bands of hope. We will get from there, and from there we will pay this, and when we pay this, we will get that. Where are they? Actually, they are in the mind. They are not in the practical level. The whole planning and everything will be that we will get. From that, this loan we will pay, then we can take more. This is how we are living, right? That's what is done. And succumbing to lust and wrath. There's so much of frustration. Because when you have too many desires, the world is not designed to carry to one individual's desires. So they will be terribly frustrated. So that is the typical quality, and then all they want to do this is for what? Sensual enjoyment. And do they really enjoy? They are indulging, but they don't enjoy. See, if you really want to enjoy your senses, or for the matter anything, you have to practice regulation. You practice regulation, then you enjoy. If you don't have regulation, then you don't enjoy. So if a person is constantly indulging means what? At the thought level, is fully filled with senses. They don't enjoy. When you are mentally indulging, your mind craves for more, even though you contact more. You are still always dissatisfied. And the interesting thing about the senses is, your senses start losing capacity to enjoy further. So the senses start losing the capacity to enjoy, and the mind starts craving for more, and when the object is available in front of you, but you can't contact even though the desire is there, isn't that a hell? That is hell.
इदमध्यमया लब्धम् इमं प्राप्ये मनोरथम् इदमस्तीदमपि मे भविष्यति पुनर्धनम् इदमध्यमया लब्धम् इमं प्राप्ये मनोरथम् इदमस्तीदमपि मे भविष्यति पुनर्धनम् इदं अद्य मया लब्धम् I have gained this today. This today I have gained. You are counting all the time gains. How much I have gained. They are not able to understand that these are all passing, temporary, fleeting things. But they are saying, this today I have gained. And this object of desire I shall obtain. Because I got this, with this I will obtain an object of desire. And this will be mine, this is mine. Possessiveness. Go. Also this wealth shall continue to be mine. See, Lakshmi only belongs to Narayana. The moment you start claiming it to yourself and you become attached to it, slowly Lakshmi will start leaving you. So this wealth shall continue to be mine in future. So basically in 13, 14 and 15 he is talking about an asuric person with reference to the material level or physical level, and 14 he is talking about mental level, and 15 he is talking about intellectual level. So this material level, he is only talking about acquisition. More and more he wants to accumulate. His whole interest is only in accumulating. This is a typical quality of a asuric person. He is not thinking in terms of what I can do, what I can give. He is only thinking in terms of how much I can get. This I have gained today. And in all these verses you will see the word I, the letter I, is very, very predominant. I. So the moment you calculate like this, somebody who has more than you, you have jealousy. Somebody who has less than you will have arrogance. So all these feelings, negative emotions, are going to disturb your mind. You're not going to be peaceful enough. So in spite of all the gain, he will be completely disturbed. And when he says this, I'll gain this, which means what? He is not at all satisfied with what he has. So when Vedanta talks about, Vedanta is not saying that you should not aspire for more. Vedanta says, you should be satisfied with what you have in the present and aspire for more. In other words, do not tie your present happiness to future acquisitions. Then you will never be happy. If you tie your present happiness to future acquisitions, will you be happy any time? See, everybody must grow. Life means growth. Isn't it? If something is not growing, then is there life or not? So, one of the important aspects with which you assess life is growth. The life of an organization is based on its growth. Isn't it? If it doesn't grow, it will perish. Isn't it? So it has to constantly grow for it to survive. So similarly, everybody must grow. So you must see the potential to grow and keep on growing, but not being dissatisfied with what level you are today. And also asuric person is in that state. He is dissatisfied with what level he is in the current situation. That's what he says. So he is talking about the physical, material level. His whole attention is extroverted. He only can see the physical gain. He is not able to understand. For this, he is losing his mental peace. He doesn't care. He doesn't know at the moment. Because it's overpowered by lust. So, that's what he's saying here. All my desire that I have for different objects, I must fulfill. He never stops and asks, so many desires are fulfilled in my life. Every time I was running after to fulfill those desires, I thought after that I will be happy. But after fulfilling so many desires, I'm still not happy. See, a lot of people, in fact, in modern days now, they started giving loans for vacations. People can take loans and then go on a vacation. A
and then they come back and pay the loan for the rest of the 2 years or 3 years, then again take another loan and go for another vacation. So you take loan and go for vacations, and after you come back, if somebody will ask, do you see that place? You might have seen many places, but the one particular place that they ask, probably you didn't see. That's it. Isn't it? You're finished. My God, how did I miss that? How did you see that? See, this is mind. This is your mind, my mind, everybody's mind. And Swami Ramakrishna was asked once, why are people avaricious? Why they are greedy? Why they want more and more? He said, why will they not be? Because the original nature is Atma, Self, which is infinite. So they will not be satisfied till they get the infinite. But one mistake that they are doing is they are trying to get infinite in the external world. In the external world you will never get the infinite. It's by going within that you get it. But they don't know. Impossible. So that is why he is saying basically what you are looking for is Self. But you are looking for it outside. You know, in South India we have one spiritual function, festival that happens where lakhs of people come to a place in Kumbakonam and all, and they take dip in a tank.
In a tank?
Yeah, with a pond. Lakhs of people. Imagine, there is a hardly any place for you to, you know, go in, but they'll go dip in because they believe that you should do it that day. And like that, when one lady dipped, she had a ring in the finger. When she dipped, the ring got lost. When she came out, the ring wasn't there. But she came out of the pond and searching for it outside. So somebody asked, what are you searching for? I'm searching for the ring. Where did you lose it? I lost it in the pond. How can you find it here? You're searching here. Because here only there is less crowd. There is so much crowd. It's as stupid as that. That's why Arthur Schopenhauer, the German philosopher, says it is difficult to find happiness within, but it is impossible to find it elsewhere. It is difficult to find happiness within, it's not easy, but it is impossible to find it anywhere else. So his mind constantly looks in terms of acquisition in the present and acquisition in the future. Mind keeps on moving. See, he's saying, oh, this I gain today. And his mind immediately is saying, tomorrow it may not be with you. That is why we say, it is so difficult to come to a status. But worse than that is maintaining the status quo. That's the fear. Isn't it? The fear, will I be able to maintain the same status quo? Because once you come there, you get attached and then you're finished. That's why he's saying, this will continue to be mine tomorrow. There is no history left. They say that wealth stays with a family for 7 generations. After that it moves away. Some say it's only 3. Third itself it starts deteriorating. And we can see it practically happening in many places. So, that is precisely why we need to study all, because when we study this, then our mind, it's like keeping a mirror in front of our mind. Then our mind is able to see. So then what should be your attitude? Go back to the pineapple and the bee pollen, what William Cooper says. They whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a bee pollen. So what you have to do, you should not keep your goal itself as aggrandizing. Goal should be to contribute something at a higher level. And whatever you get as a
prasad, you make a living out of it. Then you won't decay. There's another quotation which says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. When the tendency to accumulate is there, then only you decay. When the tendency is not to accumulate, you understand? The tendency is to keep on contributing. Then you are interested in growth, not in swelling. Here he is talking about swelling. When the moment you start thinking in terms of swelling, you start deteriorating. That's what he said. So at the material level, the whole focus is acquisition. Nothing else. And therefore he says, this today I have been. Okay, you got it, why don't you enjoy? No, this will continue to be mining. That means his mind is playing tricks there. Even though he's got it, he can't enjoy it. Swami Dayananji gives a very interesting example. He says, it's like a fellow drinking Pepsi Cola or a Coca-Cola. You know, if you bought a bottle of Pepsi, transparent bottle, you put a straw into it and suck it. So you bend down, when you bend down you see the bottle is full. And you are sucking. When you suck, what happens? Pepsi has gone into you. As it goes in, bottle is becoming empty. Now the swell up cannot take both. Bottle also should be full. You should also be injured. So you say, this will continue to be mine in future. That's the typical nature of asuric mind. Future. Never remains in present. And it's the insecure mind. What will happen in future? What will happen in future? Absolutely insecure. Next.
असौ मया हतः शत्रु हनिष्ये चापराणपि ईश्वरोऽहमहं भोगी सिद्धोऽहं बलवान् सुखी असौ मया हतः शत्रु हनिष्ये चापराणपि ईश्वरोऽहमहं भोगी सिद्धोऽहं बलवान् सुखी.
So the previous verse was with reference to the material wealth. Now this verse is with reference to the mental attitude. The mental attitude is full of insecurity, fear, arrogance, enjoyership, all that he is showing here. Typical egoistic mind.
Yes.
I alone exist. And he doesn't care if he has to torture others for his welfare. So he looks at anybody else who is potential threat for his acquisition and power. He looks at them as enemy. So he says, this enemy I have slain. In the corporate world, you have to use the word competitors and opposition. This enemy I have slain. Others also I shall slay. All the modern serials, if you see, is based on these things. They are all the time planning and scheming to destroy the other fellow's business and this and that. He's saying exactly the same. This enemy I have slain. Others also I shall slay. I am the Lord. Ishwara aham. I am the Lord.
See, in other words, a typical superiority complex. Mind with superiority complex,
suffering from this egoistic attitude, extremely destructive in nature. So he says, there is so much of hatred
See, all you have to say, I am a lover of happy human faces.
They can't.
Only they have to be getting everything. The whole power should be given. So they are constantly scheming and planning to destroy the enemy.
Life to live. You see,
it's not only they are bumping them off, other fellows are also trying to bump them off. Isn't it? That's how life is.
But this,
see, selfish person vis-a-vis unselfish person. Okay, take the example of a cow and tiger or a lizard. Lizard is constantly destroying. So it's scared, terrified all the time. Even if it's happier, it will run with it. Because it's constantly destructive in nature. The cow is very, very constructive. It's not disturbed that much. It's a very destructive person. Outside his ego is satisfied, temporarily looks great and all that. But inside he is extremely terrified.
Extremely unhappy. He lives in hell actually.
How to aggravate the hell?
How to? This is how they live. So they are not happy. The temporarily that kick they are getting. You know, the temporary kick, yes, of course they got. But the repercussion of it is high stress. Without shirt. And when they asked him, you are not scared? He said, you guys are scared, I am not scared. What do you mean? I am not scared, I don't have a gun. I am not even wearing a shirt. Forget about bulletproof or not. You guys are having guns, so you are scared and I am scared. And they dropped the guns on that day and they became his followers. The head was the Khan of Durga Mahal Khan.
He was called as Northern Frontier Gandhi. Frontier Gandhi. So, that's what I'm talking about. They are so tamasic, they can kill, destroy competition. They don't care how other people, either they become part of their, see, you take the modern corporate world, how it is, business. It's a typical thing. It's how they do. You know, a huge giant, that's why they have regulations and all that. In the world, when any foreign companies come, for 2 years, even if they are giving free, their company may not, it will be like a marketing expense for them. But the companies here will have to wind up. So they have to have a regulation body, right? They have a regulatory body and all that. So if you leave it to some of the corporate, not about all the corporate, but some of them, they don't care, they destroy. They make it life difficult for you to survive. You understand? It's not the growth that they achieve. They don't understand fundamentally that live, let live and live. Only then we can live. See, we have destroyed the in every city we go in India. In some form or the other, we have destroyed it. It's unbelievable. Because it's my comfort, it's my this thing, how much pollution, we don't care. So that's what he's saying, in more period of time, if you go on doing this, you go to any city in India, all these top cities that they talk about, forget that, even you go to hill station, they'll destroy hill station. It's incredible. So, but finally it is their destruction only. Their own families cannot live there. Their own grandchildren, what kind of a world have you left behind for them? It's incredible. So, like you said, they are extremely tamasic. So they don't get disturbed when they kill somebody. But in that what is happening is, their mind is so insecure, that they are constantly scared that they will be killed as well. In fact, their act itself is springing from insecurity. How a person, like Mahatma Gandhiji, when he was shot at, he said, forgive him. Jesus Christ, when he's being crucified, his father forgive him. See the complete contrast. Somebody is harming him. And he's saying, forgive them. Here they are not harmed. But the fear that they could harm him in future, he destroys them. So isn't that insecurity? Any small company comes, they give them threats, they make their life difficult to survive. This is clear insecurity. That's what I'm talking about. A person who is interested in welfare of everybody, he will grow. He'll understand that. They also have the space to grow, we have our space to grow. Let's grow, what's the problem? Big deal. This universe is so huge that there is space for everybody. You go and see the YouTube, so many videos are there. Every video has so many likes, so many dislikes, so many views. Everybody's got a following. You don't have to feel insecure. And there is enough people in the world. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to feel insecure. But for that you need that higher vision, higher knowledge. Otherwise you feel very insecure. See, this is the thing. Either you have a very narrow view, me, myself, or you have a broadened view. You have a broadened view, no insecurity. You also live and let live others also. Here no, others can't live. Only you have to live. Why? Because you have a very narrow view. So asuric person is having some typical narrow view. That's what he's talking about. Duryodhana was constantly scheming and planning and destroying. Ultimately he was destroyed. I mean, you see in Swamiji's commentary, he believes himself and enjoys. And deems himself perfect. He is not perfect. Perfection is not external. Perfection is internal. Like Swamiji says, when I hit the pillow to go to sleep, he says, in 10 seconds you should fall off to sleep. And then he says, I know you are Indian, you bargain, so I'll give you another 20 seconds. Maximum in 30 seconds you should fall off to sleep. Without any pillow or any alcohol or anything that's hot. See, when you Bhavin thought that he is the Lord, and he also went back to earth. All kings go back to earth. Even if gods had taken form and come into this world, as per our Puranas, even those bodies will go back. So to claim that I am the Lord is absolutely madness. Absolute madness. So temporarily, if you are in a certain position, you should think in terms of service. You should think in terms of serving. You remain a Lord for a longer period of time if you continue to serve. But if you take arrogance to your chest and then you stop serving, then there will be a rebellion. You will be finished. So many stories we have read, whether it's the West or the East, anyway, the actual stories and imagined stories and all stories, they are talking about this. The king becomes arrogant and then he starts behaving badly to his own subject, and then there is a rebellion and then he is finished. How many stories? There is another person who goes on serving, you know. So that's what we need to understand. So when he says, real, when he says, I am the Lord, he is not the Lord. When are you a Lord? When do you really become a Lord?
When you think of other people's needs.
When you don't need them, want.
When you want zero. When you want zero, you are a Lord. You are not a slave to anybody. There are no demands. Isn't it? Which means you have risen above everything. The Lord is one who has risen above everything. Only then are you a Lord. You are not a slave. Whatsoever you have not risen above, you are subservient to that. It is said in Alexander the great story that when he left Greece to conquer the world, he asked his guru, his teacher, what can I get for you after conquering the world when I come back? What can I get for you? His teacher wanted to teach him a lesson. So he said, get me a guru from India. Get me a guru from India, spiritual person. So he remembered that. He was remembering that. So while he was going back from India, he wanted to fulfill that what his guru asked. So he saw one Swami lying down and basking in the sun and enjoying. You should come with me to my country. I want to take you. He said, I am very happy here. I don't want anything. No, you have to come. I am the ruler, emperor. that's okay, happy to know that you are an emperor, but I am fine. In fact, I am the emperor of all thrice away. Right? So he got very angry. You are going against my word? He imprisoned him. But his, one of his ministers said that what you are doing is wrong. So after a few days he realized, then he went and apologized and let him free. That's what the story says. In other words, he could not take the guru back from India to his guru. That's basically what his guru wanted to teach him. So who is really the Lord? The person who has zero wants. When your mind has even one craving, you're poor. You're poor with reference to that. If you have zero want, you are the richest. So your richness has to be measured in terms of not what you have, what you can be without. Socrates, that's why beautifully said, when he came out of a shopping center during his days, he said, I'm amazed at all the things that men can be without. All the things that men can be without. Men, is it like a woman also? It is people basically. It's unbelievable. So who's rich? It should not be measured in terms of what you have. It should be measured in terms of what you can be without. Then only you have the Lord. Even if there is one desire, you will not be happy. One desire is enough, you will not be happy. Because what is unhappiness? Unhappiness is actually nothing but unfulfilled desires. And when you even fulfill a desire, the desire multiplies and it wants more. So you will constantly have a lot of unfulfilled desires. Not be happy. See, only a person who's risen above his wants can actually do service. Otherwise, for others, it is their want that is prompting them to do the service. So for them, NGO becomes what? What does it become? Source to find happiness. Supposing in your NGO you want to distribute blankets to everybody during winter in Delhi, but you find that other NGOs have already done it, so nobody wants it. You will be disturbed because I put it to you. So therefore, who is really qualified to serve? Somebody who has zero wants. Think about it. So therefore, real service is done when you rise above. So here he is saying, I am the Lord, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, I am powerful and happy. Who is really powerful? Anybody?
When no one else has power over him.
When no one?
No one else has power over him.
Power to ruin him?
No, over him. Over him.
Power over him.
He is not scared. He is not.
When power is powerless in your hands, then you become powerful. Yesterday I was seeing in one place where I was, a lady had come with her son, and that fellow, I don't know, he was too, what do you call it, was throwing tantrums like anything. He was a small boy, maybe 6 years old, 7 years old boy. She could handle him and she was behaving very badly. You know, she was actually holding him very tightly. Keep it, and it's hurting him. What are they doing? Children are vulnerable. So we are exercising our power over them. In whom there is power, but that power is never exercised. Meaning that power is powerless in his hands. He is powerful. You understand? So when he says, I am powerful, because I control so many people, a really powerful fellow. Why do we call Mahavir, Vardhaman Mahavir? Which battle did he win? You tell me. His own mind he conquered. That's the greatest conquest. He didn't go on, you know, exercise power over anybody. He is called as Mahavir because he has ahimsa. And this fellow is talking about this enemy I finished, that enemy I finished, I am the powerful, which means he is full of himself. He is not powerful. A real powerful fellow will be what? Non-violent. The real power is non-violent. Please understand. The more and more you exercise control, violence, this, that, over others, even entertaining a violent thought, you may not have executed it. See, ego is a very, very fake entity. And it is so scared that its fakeness will be exposed soon. You understand? That is why all this hypocrisy and all that comes. When a person gains knowledge and he comes to the reality, ego is fake, Atma is real, ego is shadow, Atma is the reality. You understand? So the fake person is the one who is afraid that he will be exposed. So he has to go on putting on shows, isn't it? He has to make it up for what he lacks. So that is why the egoistic person wants more power. That itself shows that he is fake. I don't know if you are getting what I am trying to tell you. So this person, and ego means what? I am separate from the total. So when I am separate from the total, then I am afraid that all 5 of you, 6 of you, 7 of you could be my competitors, enemies. My survival becomes a problem. You understand? Now when I have become one with everybody, I can fall off to sleep like this because I don't think so that you can harm me. Because we are one. So the more and more egoistic a person is, the greater he needs to balance it out. And that constant fear is there. Because suddenly the demand of the great thing is going on increasing. See, now you need 100. Then when you get 100, you need 10,000. And then when you get 10,000, you need 10 million. When you get 10 million, you need 20 trillion. So the constantly need is increasing. And therefore the inside there is tremendous insecurity. Outside they are looking very powerful. But they are actually weak. For a lot of people, they are inside weak. But they talk loudly, they shout loudly. They are very weak people. Very scared people. We are talking about the inner strength. They lack inner strength because it's fake entity. So that is why he's saying, I am enjoying, I am powerful, I am great, I am the Lord. Swamiji keeps on quoting this incident that actually happened, I believe. Muhammad Ali in US was in one shopping center. You know about it? I think I mentioned it in the class. I believe, you know, when you are picking up stuff from the shopping center, sometimes you are walking backwards this way, you are not seeing. So like that, without seeing, he banged against one thin fellow. Imagine Muhammad Ali, you know, by mistake, he didn't do it purposely. And this fellow got violent, he turned and slapped him. Thin fellow slapped Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali just shrugged his shoulders and said, I'm sorry. And I believe the fellow said, you better be sorry, and gave him one more. And Mahamudari just shrugged his shoulders and left. And somebody who was there, they reported it to the press, and it was released in the press next day. When that fellow read that article, then only he knew he actually slapped Mahamudari. And after that, I believe he was admitted to the ICU. You understand? The sense, if only Muhammad Ali told him, I'm sorry, but my name is Muhammad Ali, he would have finished there only, would have been finished. He didn't say anything. He didn't show his power. I've heard this kind of stories about even Jamshedji Tata. Once when he landed in Mumbai airport, his driver had come late, car had come late. Then he went to one of the shops nearby and bought some clothes first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, it's called Boni. So he didn't have enough cash. So the shopkeeper, owner had come, only the salesmen were there. So they said, Boni, first thing Boni, you know, so please, go to pay and take it. Don't miss it. They didn't know that it is Tata or anything like that. He also didn't say anything. He said, okay, no problem. You pack it and keep it. You give this card to your owner when he comes. I'll send somebody. They'll bring another card of mine and they'll pay you and take it. The owner came to some bank. The salesman said somebody came and he bought so much and I asked for money. He didn't have enough cash, so just left his card. He said somebody will come and pay. Who is it? He saw the card. He said, hey, you idiot. He can buy the whole shop. Why will you give him? He didn't say that he's Tata. You understand? You hear many stories like this. That is power. Otherwise, you say, Papa, I'm going to go to the house. Then, that means you are really powerless. Really powerless. Please understand, what is power? And when he is saying, I'm powerful, that's a sign of sickness. Because when any part of your body is not well, then it makes its presence known. Till then you make your presence known. No part of your body makes its presence known. If it's making its presence known, something wrong. Everything is going on, you're getting bothered about this little finger and you're pressing. Something it's making its presence known. It's not in unison with the rest of the body. So this guy is not in unison with the rest. So how can he be peaceful? He is restless. He is showing that he is peaceful. And to show that he is very happy, he has to do all sorts of things. You understand? No extravagance or nothing. But here it is all full of extravaganza, there's that power, conquering, there's that. That's the kind of life he leads. And that's why he says that this mental level, he has this arrogance. The real power is in leaving, not in taking. It's in dropping. You are powerful to the extent you need less. You are less powerful when you want more and more. In Tamil Tirukkural, he says, Tirukkural says, Inna Seedhaare Uruthar, Avar Nana Nannayam Seedhaare, which means, even to a person who does harm to you, you do good thing to him. Even to that person, that is what is the real character, isn't it? What is the real character? So there is this beautiful movie, it's called The Legend of Bhagavan. It's called The Legend of Bhagavan. When you say Bhagavan, in American style, it will be Bhagavan, Bhagavan. Basically, it is based on the used Bhagavad Gita there. The back of hands is Bhagavan, Krishna. And they used Arjuna. It's another character played there is Arjuna. They've taken the golf course there in the movie. There's a golf tournament going on. And Arjuna is the coaches Bhagavan. And in the particular scene, Arjuna is leading, but the other guy is very close, just one shot behind, something like that. So, Arjuna is about to swing, little bit he touches the ball, you know, and the ball moves slightly, which means it's stunted. And Bhagavan says, I didn't say it, and there's nobody else. The umpire is somewhere else in those days, know that no camera or anything. So I didn't say it. He says that. Bhagavan says that. And what Arjuna does is, he walks up to the referee and says, the ball moved. He goes and says, the ball moved. And then he says that, within few minutes, they show Bhagavan has left the scene. Really, very interesting. You must watch it. There on the internet.
What is it called again?
Legend of Bhagavan. Bhagavan lives. Why? He doesn't need anything. Because he is not playing to win. He's playing as a winner. You understand? Karpaniyeva adhikaraka, mahapaleshu kata. Here he is talking about destroying competitors, this, that. Here he says, ball moved. Now who's strong? You tell me. See, that's why this game, this particular game, ball. You can play all alone also. In fact, you're actually playing alone. Even if you play four ball in a competition or anything, you're actually playing alone. Isn't it? It doesn't matter how many others scored, how much you scored. But then you get involved and all that happens. But actually you're playing alone. And actually you can play alone also. Single ball you can keep playing. If the golf course is empty. You can play. And nobody is watching you. And the ball has gone into the bush. Now you are supposed to take the strike from there. But you put it a little bit here and there. You adjust and play. And then you count your handicap wrongly. That shows your character. In golf game, your character comes out. This is what we are talking about here, right? When he says, I'm strong, I'm powerful. That's why I'm giving an example. Arjuna, when he walked up to the referee and said, the ball moved, even though he knows, you know that one point matters in golf, how it is, you know that. So he's powerful or not? You tell me, is he strong or not? Here, I will acquire that in future, I will win, I will conquer that enemy. And then he says he's powerful. What kind of power is this? So, a powerful person keeps to dharma. Powerless person goes against dharma. First of all, we need to understand. If you are really powerful, means you will keep to dharma. If you do not want to keep to dharma, means you are actually powerless. You are trying to show off. Something wrong. You are mentally sick. Vulgar display of yourself is what it is. So when he says, I'm powerful, I'm this and that, absolutely contrary to what he says. Yes. Next. Adyo bijanavanasmi, adyo bijanavanasmi, Konyosti sadrusho maya, konyosti sadrusho maya, yakshe dhasyami modishya, yakshe dhasyami modishya, ityajnana vimohitaha, ityajnana vimohitaha, adyo vijanavanasmi, konyosti sadrusho maya, yakshe dhasyami modishya, ityajnana vimohitaha, and rich and well born. Well born in the sense is calculating with reference to his acquisition, not with reference to his culture. Who else is equal to me? If you have seen everybody with reference to the Atman, then you will treat everybody equal to you. If you are seeing with reference to your acquisitions and all this, then you obviously will say, who is equal to me? So that itself is a clear sign that his intellectual assessment about himself itself is very poor. So this is an intellectual. I will sacrifice. See, all this is in future. I will sacrifice. I will give. I will rejoice. He never gives. Never gives in the sense, even if he gives, he wants some name out of it. He is not really a giver. That's what he is saying. I will give. I will sacrifice. When will you? You know, if I get to that level there, then I will start giving more. And when he gets to that level, then he didn't know that Prime Minister is going to announce demonetization. Then he will say, this is more. I never expected demonetization. So I will give, I will give, I will give after some time. So that's what he's saying. Thus they are deluded by ignorance. They don't have higher knowledge. So who is rich? We have already studied many times. When your asset is less than your desires, you are poor. When your assets are more than your desires, you are poor. But here he said, I am rich with reference to wealth, not with reference to desire. I am well born. Your real wealth is your character, your thoughts. That's your character. When you say I am well born, if it has no reference to the character, but it is to do with the material wealth, that's not being well born per se. In fact, if character is not there and you are wealthy, you will destroy yourself. You will destroy yourself and you will destroy everybody else. So you can clearly see both Kritva and Kartritva. Kartritva means doership. I will do this. I am the doer. I am giving. So many people have benefited out of me. You know? And both Kritva is enjoyership. I am rejoicing. Whereas a person with divine qualities, he will have only trusteeship. God has given this to me as a trustee, and as a trustee, I will distribute this wealth in a proper way that it benefits the humanity. You understand? So therefore, I am responsible. That is not what he is saying. He weighs quantum vis-a-vis quality. He gives importance to quantity, less to quality. So his intellect is so poor that it's thriving on all the factors that are temporary. If you really have a strong intellect and developed intellect, you will not develop pride on all these things that are temporary, passing and fleeting. You will be focusing on things that are permanent. Mahabharata, when Karna had to give, whenever he was distributing anything in charity, he gave it as an offering. He didn't want them to take it from him, so that his hand is above the takers. That's how we should develop the qualities in us. But here he is saying, I am the giver, I will sacrifice, I will do this. A typical mind which is centered around oneself, extremely superficial and completely stressed. We will see the rest of the verses next week.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।